Let's open our Bibles this evening to John 3:16, and we'll read that this evening. Because God instructed us to do that. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, right here, you can see about faith, he's saying believing in what? The name, that's trusting, having faith in the name of the only begotten Son. One who does is not condemned. One who doesn't is. And so it is foundational where faith is concerned. Now, as we conclude these series of messages, let's look at the scripture verse that we've been using in John 1:1. Let's back up and look at the beginning of that. John 1:1 through John 1:4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life," and that word is Zoe. "And the life," or the Zoe, "was the light of men." And the CEB translation says, "Through the word was life, and the life was the light for all people." And verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son." I'm sorry, "as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so you can look at this, when you look at that particular verse 14, talks about the Word was made flesh. It's talking about the Logos. This here is the Word made flesh, the Word. But here, what makes the Word of God living? And see, this is back to what we're talking about, faith. Faith in the Word of God makes it alive. I mean, it is alive, but it... without you having faith, that stirs up and that makes that alive in your spirit. Now, let me explain that. The Word of God is life. It is alive. But the Word of God spoken, maybe that's another way so people don't kind of check out here, unhook. The Word of God spoken can just be a dead thing if it's not energized by the Holy Ghost. Maybe that's a better way of saying that. The Word of God is alive. But without faith in the Word of God, that's what will energize it and cause it to be alive and real. Another way of putting that, let's look at a very familiar scripture verse. If you look at Romans 10, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and do what? And shalt believe," that's faith, "and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart what? Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there was believing and confession. So those two things made something happen. That made the word come to alive in your spirit. It was faith in the word of God that caused it to the Holy Ghost to move in your life and cause that word to become a real thing, alive. And so you can confess something and it not be real to you. Is that going to work in your life? No. But something that's spoken that is real is alive. And I'm going to think of a scripture here, Ephesians 6:17. It talks about the sword of what? The Spirit. And a very familiar scripture verse, Ephesians 6:17, talking about the armor. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you can see where faith, the importance of faith, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you look up that word there, if you take the time and look it up, it says, which is the Word of God, that's rhema. So the sword and also the word Spirit is translated pneuma in the Greek. And the sword of the Spirit, when you further look out on this or study this out, the sword is really coming energized by the Holy Ghost, but it's coming from your spirit, coming out of your spirit. The sword of the recreated human spirit. But it's the rhema of the Word of God becomes a sword in and out of this spirit spoken with our human lips. Amen. See? And that's where this becomes important, that the Word of God is life. It is eternal. And when we receive it, we receive eternal life. And this eternal Word in here that's in us, when it's revealed and energized by the Holy Ghost, we speak it out of this spirit of ours, and it's a sword. And it'll change anything. Because this is what it said. What did it say in John? It says that all things were created. In John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that means the sword of this Word of God, energized by the Holy Ghost, can change anything. Because it was all built and supported by the Word of God. So one of the things that I heard the Holy Ghost today, when I was coming in, I kept hearing him say, the things, and I believe you helped me, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, somewhere you look it up. But the things that we see, or it says, look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are what?
Temporal.
But the things that are unseen are eternal. So the things that are seen can be changed by the unseen. The things that are seen are supported and upheld by the unseen. And so this supernatural, life-filled word that upholds all things, when it's energized by the Holy Ghost in our spirit and spoken, can change the seen.
Amen.
Can change the temporal. So I don't care what it is we all face, it can change. It has to change. And that's the thing that I believe God is saying, that we need to keep our eyes not on the seen things, because just the same thing, things are going to come. Disasters are going to come. Troubles are going to come in this life. But you keep your eyes on the unseen. You keep your eyes set on the eternal things and not on the temporal things. Because those things are just exactly what they are, temporal. And they can change. So the sword of the Spirit, or the Word of God, is a living thing. And it's living in the lips of a new created being, which we are. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the Word of God cannot fail. Now let's take a moment. I want us to look and go back. One of the things that I am aware of, and I'm sure you are of this, is that faith in the Word of God in a particular area, well, let's say it this way. Faith is going to come how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you look that up, you can take, you don't have to take my word for it, look it up for yourself in a Greek concordance. But when it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. There's a difference. See? We can read this. This is the written word of God. This is the logos. But the rhema word of God is the word of God that's revealed under your heart. And you know how you can tell? How many... This is one of the things that helps me to know whether I'm in faith or not about something. When you're in faith, how many of you realize that when you absolutely believe that you have something, joy comes. Joy comes. You know it down here. You say, yeah, I got it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I 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 got it. And you know you have it. You've got it. And there's nothing, and it's down here. It's not up here. Your head could be going, you ain't got it. But you down here, you go, I got it. And you know it. What happens? There's joy. There's excitement. And if somebody came to you and said, I'm sorry, but you're not getting that. You go, yes, I am. I've got it. The Lord, I've got it. I know it. So no news can shake you from that.
Amen.
You know you have it. That's when you know you're in faith. You know you're in faith when you're excited and there's joy in your heart about something. You know it. And you not only know it, but there's an expectation. There's a knowing and you're looking for something. You're looking for what it is you know you have. You're looking for it. And you can look it up for yourself. You know, don't take my word for it, but go over to the Vines Expository Dictionary. And you can look up these words for yourself. But in this particular, the word expectation. Now again, I know I had you turn to Hebrews, and I haven't forgotten. Hebrews 11. Let's read that first. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." So faith gives substance to something that we hope for. It's the foundation of something that you hope for. It undergirds it. That's another way you could say it. And this faith gives, it's the evidence. It's the substance of something that you don't see. So when you look at expectation, there's an expectation. Hope and expectation, you could say, are the same thing. In this sense, it's faith gives substance to something we hope for, and we're expecting. We're expecting it. And if you look this up in the Vines Expository Dictionary, the word expectation, and it references Philippians 1:20. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it for you. It says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." He's saying earnest expectation that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now, when you look up that, and there's a few other words where expectation is used, but look it up in Vines because it explains what that Greek word means. And it basically means a watching with an outstretched head, not hand, head. And they broke the word down and explained what, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but they broke phonetically down the Greek word and explained what it all meant. It says it's a strained expectancy, an eager longing, the stretching forth of the head indicating an expectation of something from a certain place. That means you're looking and straining, looking for something that you know you have. You've already got it. And you're looking for it. And that is the thing for me, that when you know, And I'm going to keep this in context of eternal life. When you know you have God living inside of you, see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we look at the Scriptures and go through with Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and we look at who I am in Christ, then faith is there. There becomes a knowing and a reality of who I really am. I'm not just a nobody. I'm not just me. I'm God in me. I have his very nature in me. I have his life in me. I have his love in me. And I can do all things through Christ who does what? He strengthens me with his life. So when you begin to meditate on that, you begin to dwell on that, then the Holy Ghost begins to do what? He unfolds and reveals that truth to you. And you no longer are, well, I don't know if we can make it or not. You know, I don't know. It's so hard. Who are you? See, when there's no joy, there's a reflection of maybe you're not in faith. You're looking at the temporal and not the seen, unseen. You're looking at the seen and not the unseen. You're meditating on what you see. You're meditating on the effects of things hitting you or the effects of things in your life, and you're not meditating on who you are. That you are an overcomer. You are God in this earth. Filled with power, filled with his life, filled with his nature. You ought to walk into a room, and when you walk in, your impact in that room affects the atmosphere.
Amen.
Not them affecting you, like, oh, I want to be here. These people. No, they ought to say, what must I do to be saved? And you might think, well, that's a little strange, maybe to you. But when one meditates upon who they are in Christ, that becomes real on the inside of one. It becomes real. So that when we go through life, it doesn't mean that your mind is not going to try to tell you things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a knowing down here that no matter what it is that you're faced with, you know this word cannot fail. I don't care. I like what Pastor Hagin said. He said that when his father passed away, he said, people jumped ship. They left. Folks left. And he said, they took a big hit at Rhema. A big hit. Financially. Like a big hit. And their donors just stopped giving. And he said, they were, you know, they had to lay off a lot of people. They had to do a lot to kind of trim back. But he said he was standing there looking at people saying, what are you going to do? He said he dropped his Bible and he said, I'm going to stand on this word. He said, I don't care what comes. I'm standing on this, Father. And he said he just made that declaration that he was going to stand on the word of God because it cannot fail. And I'll tell you, it blessed me because that, and I was thinking about a letter from a member that wrote a long letter and was talking about, you know, a family situation, and it's a health situation. And the family member had a kidney transplant, and then that didn't work out and it failed, and so they got into a health crisis and was in the hospital, and they wanted to amputate one leg or one from the knee and then another part of the other part of the leg. And you know how doctors are, they're saying, if you don't do this, you're going to die. This is it. If you don't cut it, and it wasn't like the evidence wasn't there. The leg was gangrene. It was, she wrote, it was unsightly. It was bad. And so the evidence was there in the natural. They should have taken the leg and the foot and all of this. And she said, no!
Yeah.
She just rose up and said, no! And she told the doctor, and the doctor, when she screamed on the phone, the doctor was like, and she said there was quiet on the other end. And she said, no, I'm going to get some other doctors. And she took her stand, said no, and began to trust God for her husband. And I remember the phone call, because I got a phone. This was a while back, so this is a long time ago. And I said, okay, I don't really know what to say in this. And I just said, okay. Because I said, what? Because it was so big of a thing. And he had gone through so many health challenges. I said, what can he believe for? You know, no sense believing for the moon if you can't believe to get across the street. I said, what can he believe for? Let's believe for that. And he was there, and so she said, what can it? And so they agreed. This is what he can believe for. I said, okay, fine. He wanted to believe that the pain would cease. I said, okay, then let's believe for that. Because if we can get there, if we can just believe for the pain to stop, he said, ah, God, I got the pain. Then I know it worked. So, okay, fine. Let's take another little step. See, it's silly to take one big giant step if you can't get there. Let's take a little step. Good, we got a faith victory. Let's take another little step. We can get over there if we take little steps. See, you take little steps to get to your objective. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes people say, well, we believe for this. And then it fails and they say, well, it didn't work. No, it's not that it didn't work. You tried to bite off too much. Take a little baby step. Get a faith victory. Take another little step. Get a faith victory. Take another little step. Get another faith victory. That's what I'm talking about. So she said to the doctor, no. And so we agreed in prayer. And so she wrote this letter and said that she got another opinion, and these doctors said, well, we're going to try this. And started working. They said, no, we don't need to amputate the legs. We don't need to do that. And started working with some other methods. And she said, my husband is walking with a walker. I said, yeah. Did not amputate the leg. Didn't amputate the foot. And I said, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. You got to say no. You got to believe God and say, his word doesn't fail. I'm going to believe it. Come what may. That's it. And don't give in to ungodly counsel. You believe God's counsel. But you see, that no came out of here. She said, no. I'm going to believe God. And she did. And she got a faith victory, and her husband did. That's what I'm talking about. You got to take a stand and stop. Don't look at the temporal. Don't look at the things that can change. Look at this unseen, supernatural word. Because it'll have to change things. And it will, if you believe it. See, so I was excited. I say excited for her because it's not about it. Now she knows. See, she knows that she knows that she knows that she knows. She got a faith victory, and so did her husband. See, and that was a blessing, and God gets all the glory. So when we talk about believing. A couple of scriptures that come to mind. I'll read this. John 6:47 says, "Verily, verily," this is Jesus speaking, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath eternal life." So I like this. He that believeth hath. He that believeth hath. Hath what? Hath eternal life. He that believeth hath healing. He that believeth hath prosperity. He that believeth God has all their needs. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I think some of the translations say, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have a need for anything. Boy, is that some confession to have. I don't have a need for a thing. Why? He's my shepherd. When you think about that, how many here have children? I don't, but how many have children? Okay, let me ask this question. When they were growing up, did they ever have to think about anything? No. They didn't have to think about a thing. They just come home, mommy, daddy, where's the this or that, or what are we having to eat? There was never a thought in a child's mind that maybe I come home and mommy or daddy doesn't have a place to live, doesn't have food on the table, doesn't have something. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, let's go this way. How traumatic is it for a young child when that does happen? How traumatic is that for a young child when there is a divorce in the family and there is separation and things are taken away? How traumatic is that? That is traumatic. And sometimes it affects children in a very damaging way. But in a normal setting, you can see children never have to think about where their food is, where their clothes are coming from. Why? The parents take care of all of that. Who's our father? So when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I don't have to think about the stuff that we labor over. I don't have to think about, he will always supply. You know, I honor my parents. You know, my mother's 88, my father's 87, and they'll be married this year. Oh, gosh, it's got to be close to 64 years. And my mother wrote a letter, they both did, and they were sharing, you know, they dribble out these little stories, you know, as you get older. But they were sharing a story when we lived in Suffern, New York, here in Rockland County. And I'm one of seven. And so, you know, back in that time, you know, you didn't get paid like you got paid today. You didn't get salaries like you got paid today. And with seven children, I remember my mother, she wrote this letter and said, you know, we had just moved, and we didn't have money for presents, you know, for the children at Christmas time. And we didn't have money for some things. And just, we were praying to God. God, we just, you know, we'd like to have something. So folks came and gave them some, you know, what would you call them, re-gifts or just some things that they gave them to give. We didn't know the difference. Well, who would know the difference? All you knew was, hey, I got a present, right? And so they had some money that people gave them some money for some things. And she just is reflecting in her latter years now saying, God is so good. He's so wonderful to meet all of our needs. You see? And that's why, I mean, when we go through life, faith in God and knowing that he's my father, that he cares for me, and he'll lead you every step of the way. And just the same way a good parent is always thinking about their child and their child's benefit, so is God. And we don't have to make God do anything. He's always caring for us. He's looking out for us. And really, he wants us to develop. And he'll, you know, the thing that I'm aware of is that faith, just like Deacon Bill was sharing, the seeds that we plant, the words that we speak, they're eternal. These seeds that we plant, the financial seeds that we plant, have eternal value. They're powerful. And so are the words that we speak in faith. They're powerful and can change situations. And one of the things that I'm keenly aware of is that I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to just remind us, don't get caught up in looking at stuff in the natural. Yeah, it's there. Nobody says it's not there. The issue is there. The health issue, the money issue, the family issue, the children issue. Those issues are there. But you need to trust God and never forget He's your Father. He cares for you. He cares for your family. He cares for your well-being. He cares for you. And He loves you. And not to get so caught up looking at the temporal. Don't get drawn into it. Keep your mind on this. Keep your mind on the promises of God. Stir yourself up. If you got to get up and say, if through grit teeth, you got to get up and say, Father, I know you love me. I know you love me and you care for me. And I know you want the best for me. And I know you want me to have a job. You may be out of work. I know God knows that. And you just have to go through and just say, Father, I know that you have a good job for me set aside. I know you have whatever it may be. You have your best that you're looking out for me. I can tell you, I know for a fact, and I'm sure most of you do, when I started working at the ministry here, I had to use my faith. And still do. And I know I had set aside some money when I was working in corporate America. I just didn't spend everything I had. I put away in the savings. I had a good chunk of money set aside and put away. And when I started working in the ministry, the Holy Ghost had spoken to me for a while. I said, and Pastor Clinton did. He came to me 3 years before I started here and said, I see you working in the ministry. So finally, after hemming and hawing, I guess you could say, I finally said, all right, Lord, I'll work here. And so I didn't ask him how much, because I knew that I didn't want to ask. Because I knew, look, it with the ministry was first starting, and I knew I just didn't have an unction to. And boy, when I found out, I took a deep breath. And I said, well, you know how we do. Well, I got my savings. It took a year, 1 year, to drain my savings. It did. It took a year to drain it. And I had nothing left. And then I said, okay, now the rubber meets the road. What are we going to do now? Well, just like you do. Help, God, what are we doing now? I say, God, I need more money because there's no way I can live and run a car and do all this. I'm running back and forth between here and Hackensack 6 and 7 days a week, eating up gas, running a car and all those expenses, house expenses. I had a house, all of that. Took a year to eat it up. But boy, reality hit. Real quick. And so what did I do? Faith in God. I sure did. I said, okay, God, you know what I need. And you know, God doesn't say believe for $1 million. He didn't say that. He just said believe for another $100 a week. Because He knew that's where my faith was. And He's not going to have you believe for something. Well, I won't say that the ministry couldn't afford, but it was something at that time where I wasn't out teaching or going out somewhere. That would have been different. You see, then God could possibly open doors up. Could He not? But where I was, He said, you believe for this. And I did. And God is my witness. In less than 2 weeks, they called me in and said, we're going to give you an extra $75 a week. That was enough to get me going. I knew God was, He was right in the middle of it. So, all I'm saying is, at this point, have faith in God. Trust in Him. I don't care what it is. Do not let go of your faith in God. I don't care if you're shaking with the teeth grit and your knees are knocking. Do not let go of your trust and faith in God. Do not. Because the Word says, what does the Word say? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God without having faith in Him. So, whatever you're walking through, don't let go of your faith and trust in Him. Don't let it go. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is the Message. I like the Message translation. It says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. He's a good God. And He's a loving God. But there's just something about God. You got to come to Him in faith. It's just something about God. He says, if you're going to come and get a reward, you got to come in faith. And you got to believe in something that you haven't got yet. You got to believe me for that. And nobody said it was going to be easy for you or for me. But one thing is for sure, God rewards faith. He rewards it. Sure as the sun comes up and the sun sets, He rewards faith. And it pleases Him. How about you? Amen. I believe that's what the Holy Ghost wants to say tonight. I do. I'm convinced of it, that He wants us to stay steady. Don't throw away your faith. And faith, again, remember, faith needs to be developed. So you could have had faith in a certain area, and now you might be faced with something that maybe you haven't developed your faith in that area. Or maybe you haven't been, you've let it cool off a little bit. Well, one way to get back hot again on that, as I say, is to feed upon the Word of God. Meditate in the Scriptures in those areas and stir your faith up. And when you have faith, let's say it another way, your confession, your words are an expression of your faith. What you say is what you believe. What you say is what you have faith in. You know, it's not, if you take time and just listen to people, let people, you know, just talk. Let them talk for a while. And sooner or later, they get around to what's really on their heart. Let them talk for a while. And sooner or later, it'll spill out, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to talk. And so what's really on somebody's heart, they're going to talk about it. Is that not correct?
Yes.
And so it's the same thing. When faith is in our heart, I'm going to talk victory. When faith is in my heart, I'm going to talk how I'm overcoming. When faith is in my heart, I'm going to say, no. Sickness can't stay in my body. I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to walk out of this. When faith is stirring my heart, I'm going to say, no. I may not have the funds in the natural, but my bank account is full. I'm an overcomer in this area. I got a good job. You may not have a job. When faith is there, you're not going to talk about the temporal. You're not going to talk about what you don't have. You're going to talk about you're not going to talk about what you don't have. You're not going to talk about what you have or the lack of it. You're going to talk about what you don't have. Is that not true? And this is a process, because what happens is sometimes stuff will come at you in ways you didn't expect. And if you don't take hold of this and say, wait a minute, let me hold on to this. Don't let go. Don't let go. I know it's rocky here, but don't let go. What does the Scripture say in Matthew? I believe it was, is it Matthew 7, I don't have the chapter on my head right now, where it talks about, it's in Luke and Matthew, it talks about the man building his house. It's either 7 or 12. I believe it's Matthew 7. But when you built your house on the rock, 7:24, right? Huh? Yeah, 7:24, right. But when you build your house on a rock, the winds and the rain beat against that house, and it did not fall, couldn't fall. So no matter what's coming, it can beat, it can come, but you've built your house on a rock. What does that mean? It's alive, it's working, it's active, it's alive where? In your heart. And you don't let it go. You don't let go of it. Amen? That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. May not be for everybody, but there's some in here, I know it by the Holy Ghost because he said so. There's some ready to toss it in. Just, I'm sorry, I'm tired, I've had enough of this. Ugh. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let go. Hold on. You're an overcomer. You're victorious. You can walk through this. Just like, I mean, when that lady wrote that letter, she said everything, everything's the doctor saying, you got to amputate. You got to cut it off. They're telling her, they're hitting her. Bam, bam, bam. You got to do this. She said, no. You got to just say no. No to this. No to defeat. You are an overcomer. Hallelujah. And her husband's walking. And coming out of it. See, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's unhook, and we'll hook back up again on Sunday. But stir yourself up in the Word of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And don't give up. Don't let go. Don't let go of this precious faith that we have that's eternal and life-changing. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for informing us and enlightening us in areas of our life that we need to be stirred up. Father, we thank you for the faith of God that's residing in us. And we thank you for it. Thank you for its eternal value. Thank you that it's faith in God and faith in Jesus that raised us from the dead and caused us to become righteous and new creatures in Christ. And it was faith in God and Jesus that caused us to come out of darkness and into the marvelous light. And we thank you for that, Father, and we'll never let go of faith and trust in you. Hallelujah. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.